Welcome to the Project Fitness Podcast for fitness professionals and fitness enthusiasts who want to be better at life. Fitness is the greatest investment of anyone's life. However, it's not easily obtained, and anyone who says different is just plain wrong. Join award-winning personal trainer and strength conditioning coach Chris Fudge every Monday as he explores all aspects of fitness that can lead you to your optimal health. Welcome to the Project Fitness Podcast. It has been some time since I recorded a podcast and put one out. Today, I'm going to talk about Europeans, and I'm going to pose the question, and then the answer is, are Europeans healthier than North Americans? The reason why this is today's topic of interest is the last time I posted a podcast, it was just before I went to Europe. That was in the fall of 2022, and it has been some time since I posted one because while I was over there having a phenomenal trip with the family for close to 5 weeks exploring different countries, my father passed away. And if you've been a listener to this podcast for some time, you'd know that he was a large influence on me just as a man, just as a person in general. And my very first episode, I even told a story about he was kind of one of the reasons why I got into health and fitness. Now, my dad passed away while I was away in Europe, and every time I sat down to kind of put together another episode, I just found it difficult. And I said, I'm just not gonna do this right now, and I'll come back to it later. And this is now the later time. And I think this is a good episode to start off with. We'll be talking about what I noticed when I was over in Europe with everybody's health and how it's different than here in North America. So posing the question is, are Europeans healthier than North Americans? Well, I can tell you from a visual standpoint, as soon as I arrived, I noticed something different than what we see here. I went to 4 different countries, went to Croatia, Portugal, Spain, Italy. And we were there for about 5 weeks total. It was a trip of a lifetime. Absolutely loved every minute of it. We flew from Canada to Croatia. That was the first stop. In Croatia, I'd never been to before, but it was one of my favorite places. And it's definitely a spot I will go back to. We flew into Croatia. We landed in Croatia. Go to get off the plane, and right away, I noticed something a little different. There was an employee, kind of like the marshal. You know, they have the orange sticks. They're directing the traffic on the runway. Well, there was an employee there. It was a female. She looked to be about 5'11". She had long golden hair. She was very well tanned. She had some Gucci shades on, and she looked like a runway model. But her job was to direct the traffic. Not saying someone who looks like that couldn't do that job, but it just was different. I didn't notice that as like a normal thing. So this caught me off guard. Beautiful woman is due in this direction. I'm like, hey, that's different than what I've normally seen. Then all of a sudden, as we walk in, we greeted by a couple of security guards, and it was two other females, both like 5'10", one long blonde, one long brunette, thin, healthy, symmetrical, just good looking people. Then we kept going through, and then we met a couple other people, had to go through like the custom security piece. And there was another female, absolutely gorgeous. And then there was a gentleman, and he had been about 6'2", 6'3". He had a 90 degree jawline, just perfect hair, solid eyebrows, good eyebrows on that guy, broad shoulders. And at this point, we go through, and then I turn to my wife and I said, is it just me, or is everyone here absolutely beautiful? And she kind of smirked and laughed, but agreed with me. From that point on, I just started noticing that a lot of people were really, really healthy. And they looked a bit different, but then I started paying attention to how they acted and realized that there's some different habits over there than we have here in Canada. I even messaged a friend of mine who is Croatian, and I said, hey, I've been here for a couple of days, and one of the things I noticed is that people here are very, very healthy and also very, very beautiful. And he said, do you know how we can tell if somebody is a tourist or not? I said, how? He goes, they're usually kind of ugly. I said, oh, no, because I was the tourist. But he wasn't wrong. Besides the fact of someone is attractive or not attractive, I did notice a lot of people were healthy. So then I started noticing different habits, like what's major differences that happens over in Europe that happens in North America. Well, one of the things that I noticed right away was there was way more people walking than driving. People on bikes, people on scooters, people walking. There was even more opportunities to get around by foot,
by transit than there was by car. It was really hard to drive around in a car. Now, I understand the weather's different there too, so they can do that. We can't really do that here in Ontario. But that was an obvious thing I noticed. Everybody was walking a little bit more. So I did a little bit of research to figure out kind of what is that. So I was looking at a study in 2010 when the average North American gets sub 5,000 steps a day. So if you're accumulating all the steps you take, and you can accumulate steps with movement, it's not just actually walking itself. So physical fitness will accumulate steps. Playing will accumulate steps. Even sex accumulates steps. But North Americans on average are just over 4,000 steps a day. Contrast to different countries in the US, there's a, or different countries in Europe, there's a series of them or a handful of them that are right around that 10,000 mark, some as high as 12,000 steps a day for the average person, which is just crazy if you think about it. They're going to move more than double North American. And you're going to find different amounts of steps in different locations as well, such as here in Canada. You're going to see a lot more people walking around in the West Coast than the East Coast. And that's just due to weather and possibly habits and possibly, you might even just see it's more socially acceptable to be walking places rather than to be driving places. So that was an obvious thing that I noticed, but we're moving around a lot more there than they would be moving around here in Canada. One of the other things that I noticed was smaller portion sizes. So in all the restaurants that I went to, the portions were much smaller, but the quality was quite high. And I'm like, there's something different about this food. It tastes way better. I don't have any negative side effects. And for anyone who's been following me for a while, you understand that when I talk about negative side effects on food, you're looking at digestive issues, bloating, gas, flatulence, loose stools, diarrhea. Any of those are all your body's signs telling you, don't eat that, it's not good for you. So digestion was quite strong over there based on everything that I was eating. I also noticed there was a significant amount of protein per plate, per serving of everything that I ate, no matter what restaurant you went to. Here in Canada, it's ridiculous. You go to a restaurant and you pay $50 for a steak and you get like a 5 ounce steak, a 6 ounce steak these days. It's really hard to get quality protein alone or even a good amount of protein per meal. It was just completely different. Over there, any dish you order, half the plate is going to be meat and the rest is going to be some form of vegetable or something to go with it. I was curious about the quality of the food as well because, again, I noticed that my body was digesting things quite well. Maybe with some foods I wouldn't normally eat, but then when I ate them over there, I was totally fine. So the alcohol being one, different carbohydrates, having some breads and stuff, and just digesting it totally well. I said, well, what, there's got to be something different there. So I started looking into what's the different laws they might have with food that we don't have here in Canada. And what came up was there's different food bans in some countries than others. So one of the ones that you'll find in Europe, in a lot of countries, is there's GMO bans. Like genetically modified foods, you're not going to find them in a lot of countries in Europe. Austria, Greece, Hungary, Latvia, Croatia being one, they just said, no thanks, we don't want any of this. So what you're going to see is things like wheat is a big one, and their wheat products don't have GMOs. So that was really interesting for me. Chicken is also, it's banned to use chicken that's been washed in chlorine in Europe, all over Europe, but it's totally allowed here in Canada, which is just kind of bizarre. I never thought about eating chlorine rinsed chicken. Doesn't sound appetizing to me. Other things like potato chips containing Olzestra. So Olzestra is banned all across Europe. It's found in fried foods. It's found in chips is where you're going to see it a lot of times. It causes people to overeat. So when they studied it, they found that people were over-ingesting foods. It started off with, of course, like mouse studies and then going into humans as well and just started having people eating more food when that product was in their food. Now, from a financial standpoint, that's great. Do you want more people eating your food? 100%. So put something in your food that's going to make them overeat it, then they're going to eat more of it. But no, that's banned in Europe, but it's not banned here in Canada, unfortunately. Olzestra also leads to things like loose stools, flatulence, bloating. Vitamin and mineral misabsorption. So, you're not absorbing as much of those vitamins and minerals in quality foods when that is added to it. I thought that was kind of like frustrating just to know that we don't even know all the foods we have here in Canada that might have this product in it. But over in Europe, it's not allowed at all. I think that's the way it should be. Stuff like that should just not be in foods in general. That's an easy way to keep your population healthy. What is also different is dairy. In Europe, you can buy raw dairy. In Canada, in most states in the US, it's illegal. You cannot get raw dairy. It's bizarre. So the dairy we have here is pasteurized. So some people might be thinking that pasteurized dairy is better for you. They might think, oh, it's going to be healthier for you. But like, there is a huge fallacy to that. That is what we've been told. The dairy that we have now that's pasteurized, it's been heated to about 165 degrees, and that kills off pretty much all the nutrients. But what it mostly kills off is any bacteria that might be found in it. So then what happens is that whatever is left over there, milk, can be processed and lasts a lot longer because of the bacteria there. But what's also been burned off is all the nutrients. So what they do is they put synthetic nutrients into it. When you put synthetic nutrients into dairy, like milk, it tastes like arse. Like it's not good. Because it's not good, they know they need to add more flavor to it. So what type of flavor would they add to it? Sugar. You're going to find sugar in a lot of dairy, but added to make it taste good. But in Europe, you can get raw dairy all the time, and it's not going to have that in it. It's going to be the healthiest source of, it's going to have good protein in there. There's going to be good carbohydrates in there as well. A lot of vitamins and minerals that you're not going to get synthetic, and it's going to be pure. Can't get it in North America or in Canada, some places in the US, but you can get it over there. We were using a lot of the cheeses when I was there, and it tasted so much better. And if you're wondering, like, what's a good cheese versus not a good cheese, the easiest way to go about is hard cheeses. So a lot of the hard cheeses we're having over there, they digested really well, no negative side effects. Another product that's actually banned in Europe, but it's not banned in Canada, it's called azotocarbamide. Azodiac carbamide. It's about 25 letters. It's this massive word. It's preservative. It's found in bread, found in French fries, found in anything that is kind of tasty, I guess you could say. It induces asthma, causes respiratory symptoms, skin issues as well. And it's found in a lot of local restaurants here in Canada. You'll find it in Subway, it'll be in their buns, you can find it in McDonald's, Burger King, it's gonna be in their buns as well. A lot of restaurants will use that as well. Crackers, chips, cereal, kids' cereal, it's all over the place. And again, it's a preservative, so it allows people to make more of it and they're gonna make more money. But it causes asthma, respiratory symptoms, skin issues, as mentioned before. And I've had a client that used to eat that stuff. I didn't know it was that stuff, but would eat certain things like cereals for breakfast, would always come to the gym, we train early morning. It would always be stuffed up. And I'd always say, like, what do you have for breakfast? And they would say, like, I had this high fiber, high healthy cereal for breakfast. And I remember at the time saying, I don't think that's a good idea. I just wasn't a fan of the cereals anyway. She kept coming in and she was always stuffed up. And I said, do you have a cold? No. And she goes, I'm just eating this every morning. I said, okay, let's try something. Let's try having eggs tomorrow and not having cereal and just see what happens. So she comes in the next day and guess what? She's not stuffed up. So she was having some form of reaction to whatever cereal she was having. Now, I don't know if that product was in it, but I have a feeling there was other products in there that are legal in Canada, but might not be legal over in Europe. It's crazy that it falls under the approved food additives list in Canada, but it won't in Europe. Mountain Dew is also banned over in Europe because of flame retardants, and flame retardants lead to things such as ADHD issues, autism, memory loss, nerve issues. Fruit Loops is also banned over there, which I found quite interesting. It's banned in not all European countries, but some of them just because of the artificial colors and the inhibition, the effects of inhibition of cell development, which makes total sense to me. I mean, I think we can all agree that Fruit Loops are not healthy for anybody. If you like your coffee over there, a lot of people just have straight black coffee. They just have espressos. I don't see many people running around with Coffee Mate. I think that's because Coffee Mate is banned over there. It's a lactose-free coffee whitener that people like to put in. I don't know why. I don't think it actually changes a flavor, but maybe it just changes the look of it. But it's hydrogenated soybean and cottonseed oils, and those have been shown to cause inflammatory responses in the body and the gut, nutrient misabsorption, like so many negative effects on the body that Europe's like, you know what? We're not having that. So that's a banned product, which I thought was pretty good too. Other things that I noticed about being over in Europe was a lot of people don't have very large breakfasts. They're very small breakfasts. It might just be a baked good, and it might just be a coffee, and that's it. Lunches are also kind of small. You don't see a lot of people snacking all the time. And then you see people having larger dinners, but those dinners are later at night. they're much later at night. And when you go to book in a restaurant, like, you're not booking a half hour time slot. Like, that's your spot for the night. They usually tend to take two or three bookings a night, depending on where you are. Some place I went to, their first booking wasn't until 9 p.m. And I said, we're parents. We need to be in bed around that. They kind of laughed it off. But so the booking itself might just be in some restaurants, one seating for the night, because they want people to enjoy their food. They value the quality of the food. And they also value the relationships and the interaction and the social atmosphere of it too. I noticed that people were not heavy on consuming high amounts of food. So I didn't notice these giant plates of portion sizes. I know it's very small. I noticed a lot of people in the restaurants were not scarfing down food. I noticed everyone was eating slowly, taking their time, probably enjoying it. There was a lot of alcohol, but I didn't notice anyone drunk. Even though I would see people drinking alcohol on a more regular basis than I would see in Canada, I didn't see anybody drunk. Not one person. Which caught me off guard, because I assumed there'd be more of that going on, but it just didn't happen over there. So that was some of the obvious things that I noticed with Europeans compared to Canadians, just the way they eat, the way they move, the amount of protein that is in everything. What I also noticed was interesting was there was no supplement stores. You couldn't find a supplement store anywhere. There was very few gyms in some of the places we went to, and they weren't very populated. So it just caught me off guard to be like, well, all these people are healthier than what I would see in Canada, but there's less gyms, there's less supplement stores. But what I think the big thing is, the movement's a little bit higher. The caloric intake is much lower. The quality of food is much higher. The chemicals ingested are much lower as well. I don't know what the effect would have with the exposure to outdoors compared to indoors, but I would believe it's going to help you a lot more. Vitamin D coming from the sun, if you get exposure to that, it acts as nitric oxide, which actually relaxes and opens your arteries and your veins, and it decreases blood pressure. So I know if you live here in Ottawa, Canada, there's a good chance you have vitamin D deficiency. But I have a feeling if you live over in a beautiful place like Croatia, you do not have a vitamin D deficiency. A lot of this really surprised me, because even when I go into the grocery store, I'd expect to see junk food all over the place. No, it was like hard to find junk food. They didn't have these cereal aisles, just colorful aisles full of BS foods for people. Their eggs weren't also cold. They were on the shelves and they were warm at all time. And the yolks in the eggs were like this deep orange. They tasted so good. I couldn't get enough eggs. I ate so many eggs when I was over there. Delicious, delicious, delicious. But looking at health and looking at Europeans, comparing them to Canadians, Europeans live longer. So the average lifespan over there is longer than Canadians. Europeans spend less money on healthcare. North Americans specifically spend almost three times as much on healthcare than Europeans. Americans and Canadians work more. On average, they're two times as likely to work 50 plus hours per week than Europeans. So I think what happens if we overwork, we undereat quality food, we overeat food, we undermove, we have different social relationships with people, we don't put enough emphasis on the quality of our food versus the quantity of our food. And I think that was just obvious just by seeing there's less emphasis over there for money. I noticed contrast to here, everything's about the bottom dollar. It's a place I don't live, but it's a place I wouldn't mind living sometime. It was quite nice. Lots of, like I said, really healthy people over there compared to what we might see over here in North America. Now, the four things that kind of tend to come up for death purposes, or you know, the top four things that people die. Dr. Peter Attia talks about this. He talks about the four horsemen. He said the four horsemen of chronic disease are these four things. One is atherosclerotic disease. This is like cardiovascular disease or cerebrovascular disease. The second is going to be cancer. The third is going to be neurodegenerative disease. So you're looking at someone with Alzheimer's being like the most common, or cognitive decline. And the fourth is some form of metabolic disease. So this is a spectrum of insulin resistance, fatty liver disease, type 2, diabetes. Like, those are the common things. So those four horsemen, we're all going to die of one of those four, most likely. If it's not going to be a car crash, it's not going to be something else related to, say, smoking or drugs. Those are the four things, or the four horsemen of chronic disease that people tend to fall into. So when I look at those four things, I think of atherosclerosis, and I think of the diets and the lifestyles in Europe compared to here, and significantly lower rates than you'll find in North America. I think that is because of the combination of the stuff that I mentioned before. Cancers, I can't really speak on that. I have no idea. I've known really healthy people just wake up one day with cancer for no reason. I know unhealthy people who have lived a very long life who should have had cancer many times ago, and they just kept on kicking, so I'm not too sure about that one. Neurodegenerative disease, like Alzheimer's and dementia, significantly higher in North America than in Europe. What you're also noticing is some experts are calling it type 3 diabetes, and one of the best ways to treat Alzheimer's or dementia or slow down the progression of it is a ketogenic diet, because they believe that the high carbohydrate intake is affecting the insulin sensitivity and making people more insulin resistant, which is also one of the side effects you'll see once you've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and dementia, is you'll become pre-diabetic and then diabetic. So if you can reduce the amount of carbohydrates and sugar coming in, keep the insulin at a healthy level for somebody, they're not likely to develop that. And that also has positive side effects on cognition. Metabolic disease, like I said, that's insulin resistance, that's fatty liver disease, that's hyperinsulinemia. All those can be reversed, cured with a healthy diet and an active lifestyle. 12,000 steps a day versus 4,800 steps a day is one example. Eating foods and dishes higher in protein and lower in carbohydrates, lower in sugars, lower total calories per day is also another way to do that. And then lastly, the quality of the food. Unfortunately, here in Canada, we're exposed to much more chemicals, GMOs, preservatives than you would find over in Europe. So after spending 5 weeks in Portugal, Spain, Croatia, Italy, it was obvious to me that the average person over there is healthier than we would see here in Canada. The average person over there will eat better than what we'll see here in Canada. And the average person over there will probably live longer than what we'll see here in Canada. I really think there's a lot we could learn from that. And if you're a listener on here and you haven't been to Europe yourself, I highly suggest, if it's in the means, if it's in the family budget, if you could somehow get over there for a trip. Some of the countries there have some absolute beautiful places to see, but also see the people, see the society, see the restaurants, see the habits, see the activity, see the average person, see what the average person does, study them, take a lesson or two, and then you too could probably extend the quality of your life or the quantity of your life, or possibly both, by using some of the methods that Europeans use. So in my belief, Europeans are healthier than Canadians, and especially North Americans, just based on some of those observations that I noticed there. And that is, I think we're on episode 109 now, or are Europeans healthier than Canadians? I look forward to coming back to this podcast, putting out more episodes in the future, getting on more experts to talk about different things, updating you all on what's been going on in my life in the last 6 months with my health and different things I've been testing and trying. Also, what's going to be going on this summer. I'm going to be at another fitness conference doing some presentations there on different topics. It'd be nice to get together with a lot of my fitness peers at the conference. As always, a good time. I've changed some of my training focus in the last 6 months, and I'll be changing my training focus again in the next 6 months. So I'll be excited to talk about that. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Project Fitness Podcast.
Never stop learning, because life never stops teaching. If you've learned at least one thing from this podcast and your mission is to help other people, please share this podcast with them. And a reminder, we will be releasing one episode every Monday for the entire year. So make sure to hit subscribe so you get the updated information as soon as possible. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and thank you so much for allowing me to be part of it.